In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Which means I work in the offices of the bishop. My primary role is as a resource to parishes in their ministries to children, youth, and families. And I also coordinate the discernment process for the diocese. So I work with people who are in the official process seeking ordination to the diaconate or the priesthood. But now I live in Jefferson City. Many of you probably remember my husband Ian, who was a priest here for 2 years. If I look really familiar, imagine me in the back row. That's where you're used to seeing me with 1 to 2 small children around me. So this is a different view. I was so delighted this morning because I got here and I was putting all my stuff down and my Wi-Fi automatically connected. That's like the 2019 version of Welcome Home. So nice to be here. We just got back from vacation last night. We drove in from Cleveland, Ohio, and then I got up early, very early, not bright and early this morning, and came back this way. So I'm just so glad to be here with you all. And for those of you who have spent any time with small children, you might imagine what a 10-hour road trip there and back is like. Kids, I would say generally, and I know for sure ours in particular, like they go through phases of something that they really like, and they like only that thing, and they like that thing over and over again. So right now for us, for Elias, our 4.5-year-old, and Ezra, our 2-year-old, the thing that they really like is the Pixar movie Coco. Coco is this really wonderful story that takes place in Mexico, and it's around the festivities of the Dia de las Muertas, which is the Day of the Dead. It's a story about a little boy named Miguel, and he and his family are getting ready to celebrate the day, and they have their ofrenda set up. So that's it's almost like an altar with photos of all of their family members that have gone before them. And the idea is that you set the picture on the ofrenda, and then the people can come from the land of the dead once a year to visit their family. And Miguel really likes music, and his family hates music. And the story is a journey of him finding out who he is and who his family is. And it's a really wonderful story. And our boys love the first 20 minutes of it. They don't really know what happens after that because they give up and start to enjoy it. But their favorite thing right now is the first song from the movie, which is called Remember Me. And we listened to Remember Me at least 60 times on the drive to Cleveland. Both of them, like particularly the older one, it got to the point where one time Elias asked for it, and Ezra, the 2-year-old, goes, "No, not Remember Me." Was because my husband's grandmother turns 90 years old on the 15th. And so we all got to be there for her celebration. And it was really, really cool to be there with 4 generations of family. We had Grandma Joan and her children and grandchildren and their children, and we all got to have this great time together. We went to Cuyahoga Valley National Park and we rode a train. And it was great because her joy and Ezra's joy were the same as being on the train and seeing everything that was going on. And we had a picnic in a pavilion, and this whole busload of small business owners showed up at the same time and saw our party and sang happy birthday to her. And it was just this really great couple of days. And for her birthday party itself, Ian's aunt put together a series of gifts, one gift for each decade of Grandma Joan's life. And it was so neat to see at these gifts and walk through with her life from being a child in the Depression to building her own house with her husband, literally with their bare hands from the ground up, to raising children, to traveling across the country in an RV, and to becoming a grandma and a great grandma. And it was just so special to be there and remember with her and learn from her and her wisdom and her kindness and seeing the impact that this one person has had directly and indirectly on so many lives. Those of you who know Ian know of his kindness and his wisdom, and so much of that comes from her. And it was just, it was experience. And I love that we got to have that experience right before hearing this reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Remember, you have such a great cloud of witnesses. It's such a powerful statement of remembering those who have gone before us. But you read through this reading, and it's not necessarily a warm and fuzzy feeling, because the cloud of witnesses didn't have the easiest of lives. Because they stood up for their faith and because they preached the gospel, some really terrible things happened to them. And so it's easy to sort of think that the only way we connect to this is in a warm and fuzzy way, but we don't necessarily need the great cloud of witnesses to bring us through trials and hardships, because being a Christian in 2019 is not nearly as difficult as it was back then. And you think that because you have Jesus saying things like last week when he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid." But the problem with Jesus is that is what he said last week. And this week, Jesus says, "I want fire, and I want division, and I do not come to bring peace." And I personally like last week Jesus a little better than this week Jesus, particularly as the preacher. But there's something really important to know about that reading. I mean, we need to have it. We don't need to just have the good one fuzzy voice. But we need to realize that if we truly are followers of Jesus, if we really live and serve and love like Jesus, then life should be somewhat difficult. When Jesus says he's going to cause division, it's not because he really likes to separate mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law from one another. It's because he knows that if you truly live a kingdom kind of life, then the world is going to be uncomfortable with you. If you really want to say you are a disciple and you are an apostle and you are a follower of Jesus, then you need to be willing to stand up and boldly proclaim to the world that God loves everyone, and that we are supposed to reach out our hands in love and relationship to the poor and the oppressed and the refugee and the outcast, every single person that God has made has value, and we are called to love and serve and live with him. And that is a really difficult thing in this day and age. In this world where we live very individualistic lives, and there's a lot of looking out for number one, and look at my accomplishments, and everyone else needs to fend for themselves. So if we are going to be followers of Jesus, then yes, we should be making people in the world feel uncomfortable. And that's where that great cloud of witnesses comes in really handy. Remembering that those who have gone before us faced trials and hardships for standing up for their faith, and that we, when it gets difficult to stand up as Episcopalians and shout, "I love Jesus," doesn't happen often, that we have people who have gone before us who we can follow and learn from as we run with endurance and persevere in our lives of faith. So I'm so grateful that when I first looked at these readings, I thought, nope. But now, I'm really glad for what they had to say to me and how well they have woven into my experiences this week.